Ladies and gentlemen, this is our final boarding call and the doors will be closing soon. Please board quickly and safely. Our monorail will be departing momentarily. Thank you.
Hello, everybody. This is Rick with the Monorail Tales podcast, and I'm here today with my very good friend, Michelle Roelke.
Hello, everyone.
And we're going to talk to you today about the Epcot International Food and Wine Festival that starts on January 14th. So, Michelle, is Food and Wine your favorite festival, or do you have another one?
Oh, that's tough. I mean, honestly, you had to do that. I don't know. I actually think the International Festival of the Holidays might be my favorite.
Yeah, I do love that one.
I think it's just, I mean, really, the extra edge is because it's around Christmas.
Yeah. Christmas just gives everything a little bit of a boost. A
little more magic.
Yeah. I think the biggest magic about the Food and Wine Festival is just the sheer number of booths, because it's the one that has the most offerings. It's the longest festival. And it's actually going from July 14th through November 19th this year. So it's actually over 4 months long.
It is such a long, I honestly, I wasn't sure they were going to do it as long this year as they did last year. Because I kind of feel like last year they were trying to kind of make up
for
COVID. So I kind of thought maybe they would start it in August, but they sure started it early again, didn't they?
Yeah. And yeah, I think as long as they feel it's a draw and worthwhile financially, they'll probably continue to do that now.
That's true. And it gives everyone, it really does give a larger window for people to go down and enjoy the festival favorites. Because not everyone can make it down for those short periods of time.
Yeah. So they're calling it a culinary adventure to savor, stroll across six continents and beyond as you sample mouth-watering delicacies at Epcot International Food and Wine Festival. Discover a cornucopia of cultures, cuisines, and innovative cooking techniques from chefs worldwide. So I counted it up, and there are 29 individual booths for the Food and Wine Festival. So it's not the 35 that they had for the 35th anniversary of it, but still quite a lot. And there are 8 permanent locations that are offering specialty items that are associated with the Food and Wine Festival. If you want, Michelle, I can read through the names of the booths if you want.
Yeah, go for it.
And so we have the Alps, which are near Germany. Indulge in comforting Alpine cuisine along with crisp wines and beers. Australia, near Port of Entry, embark on a culinary journey down under as you sample popular Australian food and wine. Appleseed Orchard, which is in Canada, celebrate autumn with tasty apple creations like an apple tart or apple cider. Belgium, between France and Morocco, satisfy your senses with classic Belgian cuisine paired with bold Belgian beer. Brazil, which is between France and Morocco, dig into South American cuisine and culture with the Land of the Palms finest fare. Brewing at the Odyssey, that's BREW-WING, so it's a focus on chicken wings. Try a variety of flavorful chicken wings along with assorted beers and ciders. Canada, discover delightful dishes and refreshing beverages from the Great White North. Coastal Eats, near Mission Space, opening August 15th. Savor succulent seafood dishes that pair beautifully with cold beer, wines, and cocktails. China, please your palate with popular Chinese plates, bubble tea, draft beer, and cocktails. Earth Eats, hosted by Impossible, near Port of Entry. Delight in hearty plant-based fare featuring Impossible foods as well as wine or a refreshing cocktail. Flavors of Fire, near Test Track. Enjoy heartwarming dishes inspired by campfire-cooked summertime favorites. France, fall in love with the classic cuisine of France along with assorted wines, or a slushy cocktail. The Fry Basket near Test Track. This is a new booth. Snack on crispy French fries or yucca fries, seasoned to perfection. Germany. Venture to Germany for Bavarian bites, sure to sate foodies of all ages. Every dish is kostlich. Greece, which is near Morocco. Opa. Enjoy traditional Greek dishes as you sip on a dry wine. Hawaii, near port of entry, opening August 15th. Traverse the Pacific for tropical flavors and island favorites, both savory and sweet. Hops and barley at the American Adventure, stateside for all American craft beer, wines, and hottest tastes from coast to coast. India, which is near China. Spice up your life with Indian cuisine that will transport your palate to a faraway land. Ireland, near United Kingdom. Enjoy favorite dishes from the Emerald Isle, which pair wonderfully with Irish ale and mead honey wine. Italy. Relish the simple elegance of the Cucina Italiana with some of the world's best loved food and wine. Japan. Delight your appetite with delicious dishes and lively libations from the land of the rising sun. Kenya, near a refreshment outpost, set off on a safari of flavor as you enjoy traditional Kenyan food and beer. Mac and Eats, near Mission Space, opening August 15th. Discover macaroni and cheese combos your mom never imagined. Mexico, take your taste buds south of the border for tacos, tostadas, Mexican craft beer, and margaritas. The Needle Exchange, near Disney Traders, opening August 15th. Savor the flavors of the Far East served up in delicious needle dishes. Shimmering Sips, hosted by Corksicle, near Port of Entry. Get the brunch party started, sample sweet treats, and sip on sparkling mimosas. Spain, between Italy and Germany, feast on flavorful Spanish foods like paella and charcuterie, along with beer and wine. The Swanky Saucy Swine, near Disney Traders. Try out tantalizing pork dishes that pair well with wine and cocktails. Tangerine Cafe, flavors of the Medina in Morocco. Treat your senses to traditional Moroccan cuisine like grilled kebabs and a falafel pita. And then they have specialty items at Funnel Cake, which is between American Adventure and Japan, at Refreshment Port, at Refreshment Outpost, Joffrey's Coffee, near Mission Space, in the Canada Pavilion, American Adventure Pavilion, and near Disney Traders are all offering specialty items as well. So, Michelle, is there any item that just, like, pops out at you? Items?
I was going to say, there's more than one. So, typically, you know, they have a lot of similar items that they've had in previous years. I mean, you know, you can't expect them to come up with completely new items for every single booth, every single year. I did notice they had some different ones this year. I was looking through the menus, which, of course, I think just came out today. And a lot of them, you know, I've seen some of the similar food items. But they're actually, the noodles sound amazing, every single one of them. And I really feel like they brought in some different cultural aspects this year, which I really like. Last year, we did the Kenyan food booth, which was amazing. And we also did the India food booth, which was amazing.
Those both are the ones that popped out at me.
I mean, they just look delicious. And I'm not going to lie, I actually really like Belgium's. And Belgium actually usually has a lot of stuff that I like. So I'm really looking forward to going. That will probably be the one that I actually get all of the items from. I don't know. I love Gouda cheese. And they have the beer braised beef with smoked Gouda cheese mashed potatoes, a Belgian waffle with warm chocolate ganache, and then a Belgian waffle with berry compote and whipped cream. That just sounds delicious to me.
Yeah, it does.
I mean, all of them. And I don't usually like margaritas, but Mexico, if I'm going to drink a margarita, I want it to be spicy. I don't know what it is about it. It kind of balances out the tequila for me, I guess. But they have got a spicy margarita that they're offering up that sounds absolutely delicious. So I know that I'm going to have to run to Mexico. I think it's called It Takes Two to Mango Margarita. And it has a poncho chili lime juice and a hibiscus salt rim, which I've had before at Cava del Tequila. So that definitely caught my eye. I don't even, and even France, I'm not, France usually, their food just seems a little bit much for me. I'm not going to try the escargot. But the, it's a three cheese beignet. Sounds amazing to me. They have short rib Cabernet. That sounds amazing to me. And creme brulee. So I'm going to be spending a couple of days, I think, walking around the food booths.
Yeah. Speaking of walking around food booths and trying all the things, do you have any tips or tricks for anybody that, might be going?
So normally our tip and trick is just to get the dining plan and save all your snack credits for a day at Epcot, but that's not back yet, which we're still kind of surprised about. So really the biggest tip that I have is to not schedule a lot of meals on your Epcot day. Because if you schedule meals, obviously one, it takes away from the time you could spend walking. And two, you're really going to be too full to try all these small plates, which are really substantial. I would say maybe get something for breakfast and then spend, you know, lunch doing the first half, do some more rides. And then instead of doing dinner, do the second half of World Showcase. Or if you have park hoppers, spend an hour or two in the evenings, a couple different days trying out your favorites. I would definitely get a festival guide and kind of grab that and kind of mark through what sounds interesting to you so that you're not filling up. Because listen, if you go to the first two festival kiosks and get two things at each, you're not going to even make it to the third.
Yeah.
You know, they really are large plates of food. They're, you know, a little bit bigger than a tapas plate in most cases. So you're not going to want more than about four dishes before you're full.
Yeah. Have you ever used the Food & Wine app?
So I don't actually use the app.
Yeah, there's an app. It's called WDW Food & Wine. And it actually has all the booths. They update it for all the different festivals, but it's called Food & Wine. So it's got all the items, their prices, and you can, like, actually check them off and make a wish list of what you want to do. And you see how much you're planning to spend based on that.
Ooh, that sounds and terrible.
You can check the items off as you do it, so you make sure that you don't miss anything you want to try.
I think that the price tag would deter me.
Yeah.
Once you're there and you're spending the money, you're like, bet. Well, there it goes.
Yeah. I mean, it really is a great app. We use it when we went, Brandy and I, when we went, we use it for Flower and Garden Festival, just so we'd have a list of what we wanted to try to make sure we got the violet lemonade and we got the skewers that I wanted to try and stuff like that. So. You know,
make sure you
I would recommend
the hard copy though, just so you can do your stickers.
Yeah.
And if you want to do, they of course, you know, one of the games that they have is a meals fromage montage. And if you get a certain amount of items, you get to get, you know, like the prize at the end. And they're doing the Remy's hide and squeak adventure again as well.
Yeah. So I was going to ask you to tell us about those. So.
Yes. Which is a lot of fun. And honestly, like I kind of thought it was silly to do before my kids really told me how much they enjoyed it. And the girls, we have to get them their own. There's no way, you know, and they don't even care about the prize at the end, which is usually
exactly.
A cup or a plate or something, you know, kind of silly. They love playing the game. It's just so much fun for them.
Yeah. And they won't do teamwork. That's where our kids are. And Emma and Liam, yeah, they're 10 and 12, and they both still like to do that.
It really is good. And honestly, I see adults do it too. And it's something that you kind of, you'll see people winking and nudging and trying to tell you where it is. I'm like, I'm having fun. I don't want to know. Like, you don't have to tell me. I'm doing this with my kids. Like, but you'll see other moms that are like trying to point it out to you and everything where Remy is or any of that. But that's a fun game. And it's, you know, below $10 is an easy thing to do. And they get a prize at the end. And I'll probably do the fromage montage as well.
Yeah, they did make a change to it this year. I don't know if you noticed it. It's still five dishes that you have to try and check off to get the prize, but they have more than five dishes available, you know. So the thing that kept me from doing it last year is one of the items was pork rinds with pimento cheese, and I'm not a pork rinds person, so I didn't do the game.
Right.
But this year, there are several
That's really cool that they're doing that, you know, because we do have, you know, obviously we have something that we have to worry about as far as allergies go. So Olivia never gets to do these challenges because she can't have 90% of what they're offering. So,
yeah, it looks like there's at least 10 different items and all you have to do is choose 5 of them. So, you know, it's a little bit easier to do it, to find something that, you know, that you will like 5 items, you know, not be like me and not have the pork rinds.
Right. Because I will say, I don't always like the cookies. We always do the cookie stroll. And 9 times out of 10, Ellie will eat them because I don't like the cookies that they have offering. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Another big thing with the Food and Wine Festival is Eat to the Beat concert.
Yes. I love those. I think there's so much fun. It's such a good perk to have.
Yeah, it shows that they have 3 shows a night from July 14th through November 14th. 5:30, 6:45, and 8. It's at the America Gardens Theater. And some of the names of people that are going to be there, Tiffany, Joey Fatone and Friends, Taylor Dane, Air Supply, Hooba Stank, Mark Wills, if you like country music, Hanson, Boyz II Men.
They have got some big names. Don't forget 38 Special.
Yeah, 38 Special. And you know, they'll be obviously announcing more as they get the spaces filled in.
I want to say I want to say Journey's former frontman is going to be there, which that would be a great show to see too.
Yeah.
I mean, it really does have something for everybody. And these aren't minor, you know, these are not minor bands that are playing there.
Yeah. They will have some local bands, I think, filling in some of the spots, but
right.
It's going to be pretty easy to find somebody, you know, that you'll know and recognize that you'll want to see.
Right.
And what's your best tip for Eat to the Beat? I think it's probably the same as mine.
Well, you tell me yours and then I'll tell you mine.
That sounds like we're on the playground at school.
Yeah.
I would say do the dining package.
That is a good one.
So that way you get a guaranteed seat and don't have to wait in the line as
that
long.
Is a good one. Our, so because my kids don't sit still, our tip is to get some food at the Regal Eagle and just hang out right across the way, because you can still hear the music without having to kind of feel that obligation of sitting down so everyone around you can enjoy it.
Yeah, that's awesome.
That gives my kids the opportunity to hop up. And honestly, if it's not a crowded show, which they're not always crowded, we'll take our tray across and there's some benches in the very back. And sometimes you can sneak in there. They probably won't happen as much this year. It's probably going to be a little more crowded. But we have in the past been able to sneak in those back benches.
Yes. All right. So do you have anything else about the Food and Wine Festival that we should talk about?
No, we are actually going to go down for that the first weekend in August. So we're actually going to get to sneak in a quick few day trip. If any of my kids' teachers are listening, they're going to be sick on August 4th and 5th.
They'll be in school already?
Yes, they start school August 1st.
Holy cow.
I know.
There is one more thing about Food and Wine Festival, and that is, of course, they are going to have specialty souvenirs, pins, apparels, home decor, and more. So that's a good thing that we're driving when we go in July, so we can bring stuff home.
Yes, I need to, we're going to have to drive this next time. When we flew back, it was like, I think we left like a popcorn bucket and a bubble wand and all kinds of stuff. Because we just, honestly, we have so many of them and we just didn't have the space.
Yeah. All right. Are there any discounts or promotions going on that you'd like to share with the listeners?
So the most promotions they have are kind of through mid-September. So you're going to look for, in the next month or so, probably, they're going to release some of the later fall discounts. But right now they have discounts out. If you're a a Disney Visa card member, you can save up to 25% at a lot of the hotels. And that's really through the end of August through middle September. Of course, there's Florida resident rates if you're local and you know that. You can save up to 20% as a Florida resident. They are still running the Disney Plus discount. And that's actually been a really good one for a lot of people. And for some reason, I've noticed that Port Orleans is the best. I don't know why it is. I don't know if it's an error on Disney's part. They haven't rectified. But I was able to save someone $1,000 on a 5-night trip at Port Orleans. Yeah. So
we're actually really staying there.
Are you?
July,
Riverside or French Quarter?
Yeah, French Quarter.
Okay. So, yeah. So, I mean, it really is a good discount. And that one is through the end of September. So that's actually a really good one. It's the longest deal that we have right now. And then the other one that you can still get for the next 9 days, you can save up to $500 on a 5-night stay. That actually ends July 7th, so that's pre-food and wine, but you could check in technically on July 7th and still get it. So other than that, those are really the discounts they have right now, which more than we thought they were going to have, honestly. So there's, you know, discounts again at Aulani if you're wanting to go to Hawaii, and of course they have discounts at Disneyland as well if you're venturing out to the left coast. So we're really hoping that what they're going to say in the next announcement is that they're going to bring back annual passes and that they're going to bring back the dining plan for 2023. We're all waiting for that.
Yes. Luckily, the four of us have annual passes. Beth doesn't have one, but she just got her gate pass last week, so she's enjoying that. And as long as she has that, it means we don't have to buy her a ticket.
Listen, so just for those of you listening, this is June 28th. So this morning we got an alert that they had resumed the sale of annual passes for DVC and AP members, or for AP members, wow, Florida residents. And then less than 10 minutes later, they had revoked the ability to book them. I'm not sure if anyone actually got one or not. So that makes me think that they're gearing up to resume the sale of that maybe this summer, hopefully. And then
fingers crossed.
The other big chunk of just breaking news that actually I just saw is that they have announced now that Bibbidi Bobbidi is reopening on August 25th.
Ooh.
So, and today is also special because today you were able to book Harmony Barbershop. So Owen is going to have his first Disney haircut on August 5th at 3 o'clock.
Oh, you'll have to go live for that.
I am so excited about it because all of my kids, I had planned on having their first haircut at Harmony, and none of them were able to because of COVID. So Ellie and Olivia have already let me know that they want to have their haircut before school starts, so they will not be doing Harmony, which, I mean, at this point, they're 5 and 7. I'm going to let them make their big girl decisions. But Owen is getting his haircut, and I cannot wait. And I woke up deliriously this morning, did it as quickly as I could, tried to get Ellie one too, and I was just going to force on her, and they were already gone.
Wow.
So, I mean, those went very, very quickly. I'm very excited about that, and I'm definitely going to go live for that. I cannot wait. I cannot wait to do it. We are going to fudge and say it's his first haircut. So he's only had one haircut in his life, and I'm not going to let him have another one until we go to Disney. So don't judge when you see his hair in his eyes.
That's all right.
Yeah.
It's 2022.
Listen, he got called a girl so many times on our Disney cruise that I was like, okay, let's just go ahead and get his hair cut. He was wearing all boys clothing too. She's so cute. I'm like, oh, thanks. It's a boy.
Well, Michelle, thanks so much for joining me today. I always love doing our update shows, and we'll have to do another one soon.
Yes, please. You're going to have more things on the horizon, I know. So we'll have to do a nice little show after they do the wish ceremony. And I don't know, did you get to see Harmonious Live?
Yes.
It was so cool. It was great.
I loved it.
I loved it too. I was like, and you know, I was trying to figure out if it was actually live or not. And the only thing I didn't like is I feel like everyone was lip syncing and it was really bad.
Yeah. It was live because my daughter was there.
Oh, right.
Yeah. She texted us and said that she's actually watching it live.
That was super cool. Cause see, Epcot closed early one night when I was there, and I was thinking, Did they film it while we were actually there? Because Epcot closed early the day we were actually at Epcot. Thankfully, we were staying at Beach Club, so we were just right around the corner. But anyhow, so yes. So I'm sure we're going to have some more news on the horizon. So whenever that gets done, we'll have to do another show.
Yeah. So if anybody wants to book a trip or just start planning one, what's the best way to reach you?
So I actually recently changed the name of my page. So if you have looked for it, you're going to look for Michelle on Main Street. I'm hoping to get a little more active in that. I've been helping out a friend with a lot of her stuff lately, but I really want to start a blog. So look for some information coming out on that soon. And you can always PM me and I'll give you my cell phone number. I've learned to not do that on this because I actually got some junky calls, and I'm not sure if it was from me announcing my cell phone on the podcast or not, but feel free to message me and we'll see what we can get started for you.
Awesome. And for our listeners, they can stick around because as soon as Michelle and I are done, Sheila and I are going to be talking to my daughter who happens to be working at the Festival Boost this summer at Epcot. So that will be a treat, I think.
I can't wait to hear that.
Well, thanks again, Michelle.
Thanks, Rick. Bye, everybody.
On this special segment, I have the pleasure of being joined by Beth, who is on the college program at this moment down at Disney, working out of Epcot. And along with Beth, unfortunately, we took the short straw and we also have Rick on this segment as well. So, Beth, first of all, thank you so much for finding time to joining us for this small segment.
Of course, anytime.
Oh, there's going to be lots of times because over the next 6 months, I can see us doing this a little bit more. Just keep track on you.
Yeah, I figured.
That's a big thing.
Hey, you're special. Come on. Okay, I know you do have to go into work, so I'm just going to fire questions at you. If there's any questions you don't want to answer because of, the company wouldn't allow you to, just say move on, okay? So okay. First of all, your uniform, are you still wearing your earning your ears?
No, I took it off about 4 days after. Well, like I started training. I had training for 2 days and then I worked 2 days after and I still kept it on because we usually say that people are nicer to us when we have our tags on. So I kind of kept it on until I felt comfortable enough on my own. And then I just took it off, and right now it's hanging on my cork board.
Okay, now you're located, I think I'm correct, at Epcot, yes?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And you're doing the food and wine booths.
Yeah, it starts July 14th.
Yeah, it's Flower and Garden right now.
Can you tell us, first of all, how are you dealing with the heat? Because you're outside at this moment, working in the booths, yeah?
Yeah, at first, really, really sweaty, but it's kind of calmed down a little bit for me. I guess my body's getting used to it, and then where I'm getting, like, scheduled, it's kind of, like, during the rain or before the rain or right after the rain, so it's still pretty cooler, so it's kind of nice.
Okay, because this is a question I do have. When you're behind working in the booth, they have fans going on you, yes? No.
At register, there's usually one or two fans, but they blow hot air, basically.
Oh.
And then inside is pretty hard. It kind of depends on which booth you're at, because some have, like, the culinary working at it, and then some just have cast members working. So it kind of just depends, like, if we're serving like really hot food or the ovens are on, the stovetops and all that.
Right. How busy has the crowds been, Beth?
I would say pretty busy because it's like kind of the start of summer and, you know, families are able to come now. But I mean, we get a lot of adults basically because it is the World Showcase.
Right. Now, you say booths with an S on the end. So are you getting moved around to different booths?
Yes. Yeah, so being part of the festivals, you work basically any of the booths. And like with food and wine, we're going to have like zones. So you're going to get dedicated to a zone. So you're going to work like five or six booths at different times. And then like right now, I've worked at Northern Bloom, Sunshine Griddle, Cider House, Tangerine, Pineapple Promenade, Outpost, and
oh, wow.
Magnolia, and Isla.
Do you have a favorite so far out of the ones you've worked at?
I would say Northern Bloom's my favorite. I've been scheduled there quite a bit. And I just, you know, I know all the menus. I know mainly the culinary. You know, I have my favorite culinary people and all that. And typically, I've made a lot of friends too, so they get scheduled a lot at Northern.
Oh, that's good. Now, do Aww. You get...
I'm happy.
Oh. I'm sorry, Rick. I'm taking over this.
Sorry, I can talk to her anytime.
Okay, it does make me forget my question. Oh, yeah. All right, so when you work in these different booths, you're saying that you learn the menus, but do they give you actual samples of the food so you can, you know, then turn around to your guest and sort of explain what's in it, if it's spicy, etc.?
So we, when I went through training, they gave us a booklet of, like, all the menu items and stuff with, like, three-word descriptions, basically, like, tangy, sweet, fruity, fresh, you know, stuff like that. And then when I actually had on the job training, my first day was at Tangerine and we were closing. So, like, usually trainees can get samples from their trainers. So, like, during our, like, dinner break, we got lamb skewers, chicken skewers, and the feta pizza, which I only tried the chicken because I don't like lamb. And then I got trained at Pineapple for my day shift, and we got, like, the violet lemonade and the Dole Whip, which I've already had, but I still wanted it, so... to have it. And then if it's something you haven't had before, you can always request a tasting, which you would have to either call the head chef to see if it gets approved, or you can ask your coordinators. So it kind of just depends, but they typically only do tastings at like closing, so you know.
Okay. Now, do you have any advice to any of the guests coming to these booths?
I would say just, like, listen, because I know, like, some people are, like, in a rush when they're going through the lines and stuff, but it does help if you do listen, because, like, there's one register that doesn't take cash typically, so we have, like, three registers, two take cash and one doesn't. And I was on one, and I kept saying, you know, I could take next guest with no cash. And then the guest would come with cash. And it just, it's a big hassle. But, I mean, we still make it work and everything. And then, you know, that. And if you have, like, an allergy, you tell us at register so we can call the chef and talk to culinary. Like, it's better to do it there and then get the window, get your food. Because you can't take it back once they touch it. And then they say, well, does it have this in it? And then it's a big ordeal. And then the guests get frustrated and the cast members are like trying to call the chef. And it's just easier and more productive by just doing it at the register. It just makes it easier for everybody, including the guest.
Wow, that's some really great advice, Beth. That really is. Rick, I know we're coming up to nearly 10 minutes is up. Did you have any questions?
Well, Flower and Garden's getting ready to wrap up, and then Food and Wine doesn't start for several days after that. What kind of things will you do in the meantime?
So, Flower and Garden ends July 4th. That's the last day. And I will be getting deployed. It's basically just getting moved to different locations. So, I'm going to work at Connections Eatery July 4th. And then the Connections Vending July 5th. And then I have Food and Wine training, like on a job training. So that's very exciting. I've heard we might get to sample the food, but I'm not really sure yet. And then I have like one more day of working at Connections, and that's as far as my schedule goes. So basically I'll just be working at Connections, and I can pick up shifts at different parks or different locations and Epcot and stuff. So it's probably what I'm going to do.
So you don't know exactly what the food and wine training is going to be, right?
No, if I think about it, I think it's going to be kind of like our specifics training where we go over each item and they tell us what's in it. And, you know, we get like the booklet and all that, and just get prepared because it is food and wine and there are a lot more intoxicated guests at the time. So we're just going to have to like get prepared for that. So I think that's basically what the training is going to be.
And then you'll probably do the same thing for Festival of the Holidays, right?
Yeah, it probably just won't be as intense just because it is the holidays. It's one of the shorter festivals, so.
My last question to you, Beth, is I really would love to do this again with you next month. And let's, you know, see your progression, if that's okay. I'm sure your dad will get you back on anyway. But for my last question, in closing this out, Beth, so far you've been there, what, 4 weeks-ish?
It's coming up on the end of the third week. So I've had like 4 weeks of work.
Just very quickly for our listeners, what has been, if I had to say to you, what was your most exciting moment in those 3 weeks so far, what would you say it was?
I would probably say getting my name tag and then going to Disney University to take pictures with my friends that I just made and just met and stuff.
Beautiful. So we will follow up next month, see how you're doing. Enjoy the next few weeks. I know your dad's coming down to see you, and it's going to be a magical moment for you all. So Rick, do you want to close out the show?
Well, thanks for joining us, Beth.
Of course.
And if any of our listeners want to check us out, they can go to monorailtales.com. And if you happen to see my daughter at the parks, make sure that you give me a follow-up about how she's doing.
Oh, Lord.
Good night, everyone. Or good day. Whatever time you're listening to it. Have a good shift, Beth.
I'll try.
Bye, Rick.
Bye.
Bye, sweetie.